This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Joining us now is Matt Taibbi. Matt, first off, as a New Jersey guy, did you feel the earthquake?
I didn't. I just heard about it from your producer, and it's crazy. I'm in Wayne, New Jersey right now. I live a little bit farther west, but didn't feel it. So it's wild.
Yeah, it's the largest since 1890. And also, New York had said, they say it's a 4.6, 4.7. So thankfully, you know, some of our channels were shaking. Fox Business was shaking. We're in the 15th floor. We were not. So we'll see what happens. Matt, first off, let's talk something less significant than life and death. And how about politics? When we come to it, let's talk about what you've decided to do. First off, you've left the Rolling Stone. You've left a lot of mainstream publications. What did you try to do with your career?
Well, part of it was, this is embarrassing to admit, but a little bit of a financial decision, because I saw that the mainstream press was failing and losing audience, in part because it was becoming more doctrinaire and politicized. This happened a lot during the 2016 political campaign. And I thought the subscription-based model at Substack, where a company I was familiar with, I thought it would work. I was one of the first people to go there, but I wasn't kicked out of media, my old job. It just happened to work out that way. But it's been great, and it's allowed me to have a lot more independence than I had before. Although Rolling Stone, you know, was better than most, I would say, when I was there.
So, Matt, you're now with Racket. You form Racket News, right? Do we get you on Substack?
Yeah, I'm at Racket.News.
All right,
on Substack.
So we're talking about censorship, and we're getting to this election season. I am worried about the government, the shadow banning, the Zuckerbucks. Is there any reason to believe that what you were able to expose on the Twitter files and what's been exposed with everything I just mentioned, that maybe people will back off and let this play out without putting their hand on the scale this time, this election?
I really doubt it. Already in this election cycle, we've seen that basically everybody except Joe Biden has experienced some kind of internet censorship, and that includes people like Vivek Ramaswamy, who was, taken off LinkedIn for a while. RFK Jr. is constantly being deplatformed from various places. Donald Trump obviously still has bans in certain sites. So there's that. And then there's the additional problem of the Election Integrity Partnership, which is something that existed in 2020. And I think they clearly want to do it again this year. There's been a big media push on 60 Minutes, NBC, and then the New York Times just in the last week about that. So that tells me that they really want to do that program again. And that was a big election year censorship effort.
People always talk about what Russia tried to do in 2016. It looks like it's something that China wants to do this time. How concerned should every American be about what China wants to do, playing on our emotions, on our partisanship, and maybe letting them pick the candidate that's best for them?
Well, and I think you have to look at this from a historical perspective. Modern America, modern Washington, is the Rome of the world right now. I mean, everybody in the world is trying to influence the United States constantly for one reason or another. There's tons of foreign money pouring into the capital. So there's always going to be influence. And this is just something that American media consumers have to be aware of as they read the news. You have to educate yourself about why people might be saying certain things, if they work for a think tank, who funds the think tank, that kind of thing. And yes, you know, foreign governments will try to do that. The technology for identifying those kinds of bots, though, has gotten a lot better.
So RFK made a lot of news this week when he was sitting on CNN and on Fox, and he's trying to figure out his role and why Democrats are going so aggressively after him. And then he was asked about Donald Trump and his threat to democracy. And here's what he said, cut 31.
President Biden has done something that no other president in history has done, which is to order media, particularly the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Google to censor his political opponents. I can say this because I just won a lawsuit in the Federal Court of Appeals now before the Supreme Court because he began censoring me 37 hours after he took the oath of office swearing to defend the Constitution. White House officials were on email with Facebook saying to them, you got to take down his post. If you have a president who can censor his political opponents, right. He is a license for any kind of atrocity. That is a genuine threat to our democracy.
And CNN was flabbergasted by that statement, repeated the next day. You weren't.
No. I mean, of course not. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I actually caught a lot of the same kind of flack for making similar comments. You know, it's heretical. If you grew up, you know, sort of a liberal person like myself, they consider you part of the club and they don't believe that you should ever stray from it. But what Kennedy was saying is absolutely correct. If the government has the capability and the ambition to control the flow and distribution of media and political thought, that is extraordinarily dangerous. And the reason that it's more dangerous even than the hypothetical worst case scenario with Donald Trump is that they have obviously the capability to pull off anything. They've already done it. They've already removed a sitting president from these internet platforms, and they've expressed a willingness to do it again. That is an extraordinarily serious thing. I think people are underestimating how bad that is. And that's why I totally agree with him. And he's right. You know, the day that Joe Biden got into office, they were trying to get one of his post, you know, factually accurate posts off of Facebook. That's crazy.
It is. Now, tell everybody why we should care about the Murthy versus Missouri case.
Well, this lawsuit, Murthy v. Missouri, which was originally called Missouri v. Biden, it's sort of a combination of a lawsuit filed by a group of doctors and some conservative journalists and the material that came out of the Twitter files. And if lower court judges have already said that the kinds of behaviors that we exposed in the Twitter files violates the First Amendment and the government isn't allowed to do it, if that's overturned, if the Supreme Court quashes those rulings, it will give the government explicit permission to censor, and that will be extremely dangerous. And that's why this is a very, very high-stakes case. It's a historic First Amendment case, and we should all be very worried about the outcome of it.
But when you heard the arguments, there's not a lot of optimism, not pessimism, not a lot of optimism that they're looking to rule with Missouri. Do you get that same conclusion?
Well, one thing I've learned about covering courts over the years, and I haven't done a lot of Supreme Courts, but you can never really tell what judges are thinking just by their questioning. But if you go by their questioning, they were signaling that they were going to rule against Missouri. And they were signaling that it was going to be a blowout, frankly, that it was going to be something like 6-3 or 7-2 against. Now, you never know, but there were not a lot of questions that were helpful to the plaintiffs, and they didn't seem to have read most of the case evidence, which was not true at the appellate level. I attended that hearing. The judges read that stuff and were outraged. That wasn't true at the Supreme Court.
So we'll see what happens. Do you see yourself going back to Congress, back to the House before the majority, before the election?
I mean, I would if I was called, if I have something to say. I mean, I think those hearings on censorship, they did a lot of good, actually, in popularizing some of the facts about these issues. So I'd be happy to do it. It's not a normal thing for journalists, but yeah, of course, I would love to.
Well, famously, when you were on testifying, the IRS came knocking at your door. Have you had a follow-up to that?
Well, actually, thanks to Jim Jordan, the Judiciary Committee chair, they followed up with the Treasury, and not only did they get a lot of information about what actually happened, but they managed to wrestle a policy change out of the Treasury Department, essentially barring home visits for all but a couple of thousand times a year. They were doing it much more often than that. So, you know, that out of that incident, something good happened. And I'm not in trouble with the IRS anymore, not that I know of, so that's good.
It's incredible. I mean, that was insane. Matt, where do we find your columns?
Yeah, just at racket.news on Substack, and I'm at mtaib on Twitter.
All right, go get him, Matt. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Brian. Take care.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.